Hey guys, Michael here with Wedding Videography School. If you're looking for a solid and reliable contract that you can feel good about sending to your clients, look no further than the WVS contract, crafted by a licensed attorney in the state of Colorado. It might just be the best contract for wedding videographers in all of North America, or even maybe the world. Hard to know. Regardless, if you're unsure of whether the contract you're using right now is good enough, go to weddingvideographyschool.com right now, enter the password podcast, and start protecting yourself and your business today. Hey guys, Michael here with Wedding Videography School, the bad boy of wedding videography. Adam Bradley is in our presence. How you doing, man?
The virtual digital presence, as usual.
Yeah, we had a little bit of a... what would you call what we just did? Troubleshooting. We looked like two of those 50-year-old dudes in an IT room, like in a conference room, trying to fix like the projector for the executives who are about to make a presentation on the on the big screen.
I know, and you always think that maybe the tech guys would be able to figure this stuff out a lot quicker, but no, it's always us that have the most problems, I feel like, sometimes. But yeah, should we give a shout out to what we're using? I mean, we have good reason. This is our first time going on Zencastr.
Yeah, shout out to Zencastr, unless it really sucks. And then they might not want us talking about it.
Yeah. I mean, switching platforms over for the podcast, checking it out. Maybe it's just going to totally be awesome. And then Zencastr is going to want to sponsor us.
Well, the idea here is really just that we're going to record the podcast on this platform, and then I'm not going to have to download your audio file to my computer and like transfer the files and then sync them up and edit them. I mean, I'll still edit like a little bit, but in general, this should really just sync everything up from the beginning. So
nice.
Yeah, it should save a little bit of time and make us recording this podcast just a little easier, which is actually a really big deal for us because we're super busy and we don't record as much as we'd like to. But we're doing our best, god damn it.
We're doing pretty good. I mean, yeah, there's just been a lot going on this summer. I was even thinking, like, I feel like I just saw you recently. We had that recent kind of concert shoot for you, but you know, it's been a really busy summer, at least for me.
It's been a busy summer. You came out to a So Far Sounds show, which is So Far, if you Google it, like SOFAR, they put on these like little concerts, like mini concerts at like little local venues near you, probably. And you came out and shot one of those events with me, which was nice.
Yeah, and, man, that's fun.
Yeah, and you weren't half bad.
Well, we got to owe that to the new camera because I finally switched over Canon, finally had a non-paying job to kind of test it out. So I'm glad the footage worked out and hopefully it matches the Blackmagic pretty well.
Yeah, I'm glad you could test out the camera on one of my shoots. That's always nice. So not unlike the photographers I've worked with recently who seem to be practicing wedding photography at my weddings.
Oh my gosh, man. Photographers. Are you talking about your recent shoot to Aspen or a video you're editing or what?
So I should really sandwich this with, I worked with a photographer in Aspen last weekend who was awesome. Her name is Sydney Noel and she's based out of California and she's mostly a destination photographer. And she was super nice to work with, very easy to work with. Really no complaints overall. And yeah, she was great. So definitely not her, but I am editing a wedding that I shot it was a while ago, to be honest. It was my first wedding of the year, which I finally, just so you know, I finally finished up my 2021.
Yeah.
Like it's officially over as of today. So that's why you caught me outside tanning in my backyard. Because I just wanted to get outside for 10 minutes before our podcast recording and sit in the sun and absorb this moment of being done with 2021.
There you go, man. That's what it's all about. Congratulations.
So now I've already started the next edit, and I'm like looking through the footage and I'm editing toasts and dances, and these photographers are so stupid. They're in every shot. They're shooting opposite side of me, which I don't even know why. Like, their background is horrible because this is a venue I shoot all the time, so I know it inside and out. And like, why they would choose this background is so ridiculous. I'm shooting towards all the family and loved ones who like are smiling and love these people and are watching them dance on the dance floor. Like, my footage looks awesome, except for the two photographers who are getting the exact same shot, the exact goddamn shot. And they're standing there in their fucking masks. Nobody else is wearing masks, by the way. These two idiots are the only people wearing masks at this wedding.
Who even wears masks anymore?
It's so ridiculous. Well, oh, you want to get... Okay, so at the last wedding that I shot, this last... Not the Aspen one. So that was two weekends ago. This last one I shot was actually near your house at a place called The Pinery, which is a golf course wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Which may very well be my last golf course wedding. But regardless, the photographer I worked with, they were nice. He was nice enough. But the dude puts on a mask at the very end of the night. And I'm like, why are you wearing a mask now? Like, the whole day you weren't wearing a mask. And now we're wearing a mask at the end of the night so that you can be in all my dancing shots with a mask on. It's like, I don't know what the point of the mask was. Like, if you were really concerned about COVID, you would have been wearing it the whole time.
Right, right. That's odd, man. Have you worked with these photographers before?
No.
Oh, new people.
Yeah, but you know how it is. You run into new photographers all the time. What are you going to do? You don't always get to choose. I wish I could. I'm like getting to that point where I'm like, what can I do to make sure I only work with like my top 10 photographers? Go ahead.
So I'm guessing you did not wear your mask. You did not also pull out your mask the last five minutes.
I've not been wearing a mask for as long as I could possibly not wear a mask. Like, right. as soon as I don't remember what the cutoff was. Well, it's essentially like, so I don't know if I would do this again, but back when they said, if you get vaccinated, you won't have to wear a mask anymore, which turned out to be total bullshit, but okay. So they said that, and I was like, great, I'm going to go get the vaccine.
Yeah.
As soon as they, like, and the vaccine had been out for like 2 months, and I was like, I don't know. Like, it's really like at my age and my fitness level and my health, and it's like COVID is a nothing burger to me. Maybe I should get vaccinated just so I can not wear a mask. So that's when I stopped. And
yeah.
So I don't know what the deal is with these photographers. And I'm ragging on the photographers because those are the only people I see doing it that show up to the wedding with the masks on and nobody else is wearing one. Like, none of the guests, the chef is in the back. He's coughing all of your food. He's not wearing a mask. Nobody's wearing a mask except for you. Why are you wearing a mask? And why are you wearing, first of all, you're not wearing it most of the day. So you're obviously right. Not concerned about COVID. What is this all of a sudden? I'm going to, oh, the sun went down. Time to put on my mask. I don't know what is happening. I'm getting so angry.
You know, I think you've finally like gotten your 2021 edits done, and you've just got all these like pent up stuff, and it's just all this COVID stuff's finally coming out because you're finally moving on and embracing 2022.
Maybe that's what it is.
That's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah, well, good thing I have you around to be my therapist. So anyway, I'm shooting this wedding and I'm editing these toasts, and these photographers are in like every shot. And then it kind of reminded me that like last time I was at this venue, a totally different photographer, like, They were getting so close to my I'm like on a tripod shooting toast. Like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm in the same spot for 25 minutes, not moving. And this photographer is like coming up and shooting all around me, like as if I have as if I have the dead on straight best angle of the entire freaking room or something. They're like putting their camera like right next to mine and taking pictures and stuff, which I guess is fine. I get a little nervous because I'm like, please don't bump my camera and like cause some camera shake unnecessarily. But like, I'm mostly fine with it. But I do this thing during toasts where I kneel down. I get my shot and then I take a knee by my camera and I just keep an eye on it, but I don't touch it. I take a knee so that the people who are sitting at the table behind me can still kind of see that what's going on without me standing there. They're just like looking at my ass or whatever.
Right.
Well, this photographer girl comes up and she starts snapping photos, but she's got her crotch like right in my face. Like she's so close to my face with her body that I'm like, what? And by the way, I'm kind of at that age where like I take a knee, but then my knee, like if I move, it'll start to hurt. So I'm trying not to move as her crotch is getting it's encroaching. Her crotch is encroaching on my face. It's encroaching me. Okay. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? If I move, my knee is going to hurt because I got to get up very slowly like an old man.
Yeah.
But if I don't move, it looks like I'm performing a sex act.
I was going to say, this sounds like an invitation. Sounds like you were set up from failure from the very first knee that happened.
I don't know what's going on, but like the photographer thing is just driving me nuts. And like every once in a while, I get a great photographer like Abby Rice Photo out of Colorado. I worked with her and her second shooter or whatever recently, and she was great. Like no issue. Like there's photographers out there that are still really awesome, but I feel like like the ones that are bad are just so bad. They're so bad, and they do the thing where they like they stand in your shot opposite of you and then they just like look at the photos they've taken. They're not taking a photo. They're reviewing the photos they've already taken. It's like, get out of the way, bitch. Move. What the fuck are you doing there? Get out. Get out. Why are you walking behind the ceremony site? Why are you walking behind the table where the couple is while they're having their best friend tell the best moments of their life? Why are you standing there in your ugly ass mask reviewing your photos? Like, are you dumb? Oh, that makes me think of that Tekashi 6ix9ine song. Are you dumb, 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 stupid? God, I'm so over it. I'm so over it.
I'm like, so glad. I'm so glad that your next wedding is shooting for me this weekend,
dude. It's like I just don't get it. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, okay, I get it. Most of the weddings you go to don't have a videographer, but guess what? Now you have a videographer. So I don't know, maybe be a little bit considerate of the fact that your clients not only hired you, you brilliant, creative with your fucking wide brim hat, but they also hired a videographer to get really good footage.
Yeah. Well, and putting this into context for people that are still listening is that Michael is the most chill videographer that I know. Typically, he's very much like, oh, photographer gets my way. Usually I'm the one that's like very particular about all these things, but you're like the most chill. So this one must have really put you over the edge for you to be that chill and for her to upset you that much. But here's what I think. I think is that most photographers, they're not used to videographers that... Not that we're aggressive, but I think that we do our job well. I think most photographers work with really bad videographers that are kind of like behind the scenes or just kind of like, you know, never like have ideas or suggestions for movements. And so I think when they come across us, they don't know what to do. They're like confused. Like what, this videographer actually wants to get good shots and actually like do his job the right way? And they feel like offended or something, or like we're coming... encroaching on their territory.
Well,
team effort.
This girl encroached on my face and I'm pissed. I'm not happy about it.
I think that should be the title of this podcast, is this photographer encroached on my face.
Oh, well, Listen, here's the thing. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm really not. But for any photographers listening, please, I don't want your face, your masked face. I don't care if you wear a mask. I don't give a shit. Just stay out of my shots. Like, I don't want your masked face being between the face of the groom and his mom during the first dance.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to look and see you staring at me in between the two of them. Like, right. That's just a weird shot. And now the clients are going to see it. They're going to see. And I'm not, by the way, I don't look bad in this. You look bad in this. You look like an idiot because you half the time you're not even taking pictures. You're just like looking around the room like you're looking for someone that you saw walking out of the bathroom and you thought they were hot. You don't even look like you're doing anything. Jesus, you look so dumb. I'm just saying for you guys, for you photographers, I'm just saying this is for you.
I need to know who this photographer is so I can send her this episode.
I don't even remember. I mean, maybe I could find it in my email. I should have looked them up. Maybe I'll. It doesn't even matter. I was going to say I could post a picture of them, but they're wearing masks. You wouldn't know who they are. Nobody
would. Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, cheers to the rest of the summer.
Well, speaking of summer, what are you doing? I feel like this is our summer catch up episode. We're kind of in the thick of it here.
Yeah, dude. I did Montana a couple weekends ago, and I'm actually going back to a different part of Montana this weekend. So I'm excited about this one because I know the girl. I shot her older cousin's wedding a years ago. And so I kind of know the family, but this one is going to be an interesting one. They're going to be riding in on horses for the ceremony entrance. And they're like big rodeo family. So I think it's going to have a lot of interesting things that I'm not used to. So, which I'm actually excited about. So I'll be going back to there this weekend while you're shooting for me on your favorite golf course. Another golf course coming up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one was supposed to be in Vail, and then it got moved to a golf course, which was kind of a big surprise in a way.
Yeah, I didn't find out until like last week, but I think it's closer for you, so at least you're saving on the drive, hopefully.
It is a bit closer, so that's nice. I'm not mad about that. And you know, the venue is actually, the landscape there is actually really pretty. It's the buildings and stuff that aren't as nice. And they do a tent wedding there where you can do it like a tent reception or an indoor reception. The indoor is pretty lame, but the tent is a little bit better. The problem with the tent though is you tend to blow out the background because every time I've ever done a tent wedding there, they stick the couple and the toasters like right near the exit of the tent or whatever. And then you just have a blown out background, but I'll do my best for you. We'll see what we can do.
Yeah. It'll be awesome, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What do you got going on, man? Do you feel like you're kind of like, are you over the hump yet of all the weddings? Because as we're kind of coming into July, or you still have a long way to go?
I'm essentially right on track now to deliver the rest of my weddings according to the contract due date. So
nice.
I'm certainly not ahead by any means, but at least I'm not behind anymore, which feels really good. The big thing that happened to me recently is I went to Aspen and I lost my drone.
Oh yeah, that's right.
You already know about this because I had been contemplating getting the Mavic 3 Cine, whatever you want to call it. And I just couldn't bear to bring, I just couldn't bring myself to spend $5,000 on it, especially after I just lost one to a tree.
Yeah.
So, and you know, this is one of those things where when I was getting my Part 107 license, they talk about like not being in a hurry. Like being in a hurry is never a good thing when you're trying to fly the drone. And it's true because it was about to rain. I wanted to get like just a couple shots of the hotel in downtown Aspen, and I had to jump through all the FAA hoops to like secure like a time period for me to fly. I had to unlock the drone via DJI's drone unlock geofencing, whatever. So I had to do all this pre-planning for it. So I was like, I need to fly this thing now within my time window. But there was a little bit of a rainstorm coming in. And so I was like, I really only need like 3 shots. I bet I can get these 3 shots before it starts raining. So I take off and I just clipped the end of a tree branch, and the original Mavic Pro that I had got just so wrapped up in that branch that it just, I think the props must have like twisted around these branches and just like got locked in. And so then I was outside of my, I'm in downtown Aspen, one of the snootiest places you could ever be. And then it immediately starts raining on me. And so I go back to the truck and I get a softball that I happen to have in the back of the truck. And I start lobbing this softball up in the air to try to knock this drone out of the tree. And I spend about 20 minutes doing it. And I hit it like direct. This drone is like 30 feet up in the air. It's not close to me, but it's also not super far. I had like 5 or 6 direct hits with the softball on the body of the drone.
Wow.
Basically hitting the battery pack, because it was like upside down.
Yeah.
And every time I hit it with the softball, I was like, oh, I bet I got it. And it just would not budge. So it didn't take me long to realize that this was a fool's errand and that I just was not going to get the drone back. So Adam, you know Brandon. He's second shot with us, and he was coming up anyway to do this shoot with me. Luckily, I caught him before he left his house, and he brought his Mavic Air 2. And so he got all my drone shots for me that weekend, and I guess it worked out sort of, except for the fact that I had to buy an $1,800 Mavic Air 2S to replace my old drone. So, which is fine. I mean, I kind of wanted a new drone. I really wanted the Cine that like you have, but you know, it seemed like the best value for me at that moment was to get the Mavic Air 2S. So that's what I got.
Yeah. I do have a quick little drone story too, because I shot in I was in Buena Vista last weekend. I almost lost my drone and completely freaked me out, because I'm trying to get used to the new Cine, and the thing I learned very quickly is that when it says return to home, there is very little wiggle room in between return to home. So basically what I did is, you know, I like canceled out of it to finish like 10 more seconds of a shot, and it was so windy, it didn't make it back. And so it went into like emergency landing mode and basically just dropped down probably about 100, 200 yards from where I was at the venue. And I couldn't, like, I was trying to click on the map. The map wasn't pulling up. Like, I basically just had like this really like sketchy view of like where this was. And I drove around for about a good 15, 20 minutes asking like these skateboarders, like if they'd seen it. And I was ready to like call it quits. And I'm just freaking out, because yeah, that's an expensive drone. And right when I'm getting ready to go back, because the wedding planner called me, she's like, get your ass over here, you're missing things, which I wasn't. And I like turn around to go back, and sure enough, there it was, like just laying down in this empty parking lot. And I found it, but dude, there's nothing that, I don't know why, that's like just freaked me out more than anything. Like I just like, because I had footage on there from the day before, I shot 2 days in a row, so it's like I had 2 days of drone stuff on there I hadn't dumped yet, an expensive replacement, the whole thing. It's just like, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, that is stressful. But couldn't you hear it? Like, what was the deal? Like, what was your mistake, or what was the drone's mistake? Like, what happened?
I think it was just because the wind was going the opposite way. So I think even if I would have brought it back when it said to come back, I don't know. And I don't know if I had changed that feature, because you can change when that warning comes on. I think I have it like at 15% instead of like the normal 20%. But I don't know, man. I should have just brought it back sooner and kept a better eye on it. But I don't know. Freaked me out.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. That's really the reason why I couldn't bear to buy the Cine. Was $5,000. And I'm like, if I lose this thing, I mean, I guess you still have the, you're not going to lose the controller and, you know, most of your batteries and stuff like that. So you, the cost of the actual craft itself is less than $5,000. But, you know, even with the Mavic Air 2S, if I lose that thing, that's immediately at $1,000. I guess I could buy the protection plan or whatever. I always feel like I'm going to get screwed. I'm going to be like, I lost my drone. And they'll be like, that's not covered under this lose your drone policy. You know that your drone protection plan you bought? Yeah, losing your drone is not covered under that. That's just what we call it, okay? Yeah. But if you read the print, you would know that we only replace aircraft that are malfunctioning.
I've heard that there's like an app on your phone or some type of something where you can figure out where the drones are in your area. It's like a third party way of discovering where the drone is. So I need to figure out what that is. But yeah, but I think that for me, it was more of like a laziness check. Like, I think I do this so much and so often and go into autopilot. I just sometimes bend the rules or don't stay in the guidelines with everything, right? With shooting, like, it's like, should I get the gimbal out or should I just get the shot handheld? And you know, like, it's going to be a better shot if you put the extra 2 minutes in. And it was a good reminder this summer to just not be lazy.
You're like the Alec Baldwin of wedding videographers.
What does that mean?
Like, you know how he shot and killed that director of photography?
On accident, yeah.
Because they didn't go through the proper procedures. That's like us with our drones. Gosh. Like, that's like me taking off because I'm like, I better do this quick because it's gonna rain.
It's just a good reminder, man. Yeah. So, wow. Till next time.
Yeah. Sorry. I feel like I just yelled this whole episode. So.
It's good. It's a. Yeah, man, I got to say, though, I'm excited with this new camera, the C70. I'll be shooting it with at my first wedding this weekend, and then I'm in Steamboat Springs the weekend after. And so, I don't know, I feel like I've been complaining a lot about just losing some creativity and inspiration in some areas of shooting. So I feel like I've got my next couple of weeks kind of set aside to really focus on learning a new camera and just taking my stuff to the next level, hopefully.
Well, man, that sounds pretty awesome. I got a few weddings coming up, yours, and then I got one in Estes Park. I got one back at the Manor House, which I feel like is my stomping grounds.
They know you there, man.
But the crazy thing is, in August, I'm basically gonna spend my entire August in Aspen. Excuse me.
not a bad spot to stay, though.
So I didn't bring it up earlier because it wasn't really affecting my voice, but I had been sick this last week and I think I just got the last little bit of phlegm out of my throat. So
those are the things that
poor timing
typically
there.
Maybe you would edit out that, but now since we're using Zencaster, we can't edit that out.
I'll have to look into that. But yeah, I'll basically be living in Aspen for the entire month of August.
Hey, if you have to pick a place to live, that's not a bad spot.
Yeah, except when you go to like the coffee place, you get stuck behind the lady who like asks the barista like 800 questions. And she's like, first of all, she's like 70 years old, but she's dressed like way more in style than I am.
Right.
And you can tell that she just has a ton of money. And she's like, excuse me, young man, can you tell me where these beans were tilled? Are these beans locally sourced? That's the kind of stuff you have to deal with in Aspen.
Yeah.
And guys with sweaters loosely tied around their necks.
There's a lot of good looking people up in Aspen. You'll fit right in well.
Ain't that the truth? All right, guys. And with that, until next time.
Till next time.
Okay. Hey guys, this episode of Wedding Videography School is brought to you by Photographers Wearing Wide Brim Hats. Photographers Wearing Wide Brim Hats is the nation's number one wedding photography company, and for good reason. They are clearly the most creative, most unique individuals out there. And their photography is so creative. I can't even begin to describe how creative it is. That's how creative it is. If you guys are working with photographers who aren't wearing wide brim hats, then you're probably not working with the best photographers out there. So, you know, whether you're having a wedding, a birthday party, or you're taking your kids to school, or you're hanging out at home, or going to the bathroom, you know, all things that you want photographed creatively, it should be done by photographers wearing wide brim hats. A lot of you guys, I know you're working with photographers who aren't wearing wide brim hats. They might not be wearing hats at all. And that's a problem. If they're not wearing a wide brim hat, I don't know what the point of them even picking up a camera is. But when you work with photographers wearing wide brim hats, you know that you're always getting someone who's going to give you the most incredible shots that you could imagine. So for your next event, whether it's a wedding, a birthday party, a family reunion, your mom's pap smear, whatever the event, make sure that you hire photographers wearing wide brim hats to get the most creative still images captured, you know, one frame at a time. And that's what photography is. It's, you know, you hear the click, click, and you know you got one frame. And then you hear another click. Sometimes you hear eight clicks in a row, like click, 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 click. That they just got eight pictures, and maybe one of them is good. Probably not. But the photographer wearing a wide brim hat, they are going to cull those photos later on and, you know, really, really select the eight or six shots that they got from the entire day that they stood in front of the videographer to get. And they're gonna edit those down into something truly magical. Probably just 2 8x10s that you can put in the living room next to the closet door. So give photographers with wide brim hats a call today and book them for your next event.